opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions, LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
Hello, and welcome to the Mite Radio Show here on DGV Radio. Reverend Mike McDuffie is your host, but I'm standing in today as his guest, and my name is Susan Collum. I just want to first say that this is so anti-me, if you know me. I just learned today how to do Facebook Live, so I'm just trusting the process here and the journey here that Rev wanted me to do. So I just wanted to give a little background a little bit, that I'm a teacher in Patterson. I've been teaching there for over 11 years, and back when I taught at Panther Academy, I actually heard of Rev McDuffie, and our paths probably should have crossed then, but they did not. And now that I'm at my alternative school, Rev works at the same school that I'm in. I've always been a follower of Christ, sometimes more practicing than not, but I was raised with my mother being Roman Catholic and my father being Presbyterian. So very different church experiences there. So I'm just going to speak on my experience, and maybe we'll give a little history of what we're going to talk about today about flipping it. So growing up in a Catholic home, I just always looked at God as, fearful, and you should always do the right thing. Hello, everyone. Sorry. That you should always do the right thing. And if you do the right thing, then good things would happen to you. And obviously, if you do bad things, then bad things would happen to you. But when you're doing good things and bad things happen to you, it doesn't really kind of make sense. And so I never really looked at God as a loving God. I really looked at it as something being fearful. And I remember in second grade Sunday school being kicked out because I said to the nun, I didn't understand why there was a hell. If God accepts all his children, is forgiving, and loves all his children, why is there a hell? And she couldn't answer that. Hello, everyone. And so I got kicked out. So through the whole process, I almost went for my confirmation, and my tennis coach, Christine O'Reilly, she was a triplet and she was a very famous tennis player. She got into a car accident in California and passed, and she was doing a fundraiser for special needs. And I remember being very angry at God, going, how do you keep murderers and pedophiles and all these horrible people alive, and here's someone that was doing good? And probably that was probably the moment where I stopped doing church and doing the process, and I kind of had an outlook that God only gave seven miracles a year, and you'd be lucky if you found someone in your lifetime that knew someone that had one. So fast forward, when I was married, my husband started going to AA, and I went to Al-Anon, and I remember someone saying to me, this will be the best thing that ever happened to you. And I remember going, I don't know about that. And they were right. It was one of the best things. But it was in an AA meeting that I went to support my husband at the time, that the topic was miracles. And I go, ugh, this is going to be a waste. Like I said, God only gives seven a year, and you'll be lucky if you find someone. And in that meeting, it just came across me that I was surrounded in miracles in my life, and I couldn't stop thinking of all the miracles. And it was probably at that point where I started to want to reconnect with God. And I have to give my dad credit that my father looked for a church that went strictly Bible-based. And turns out it's the closest church to my house from growing up. So that's Grace Church. So getting back in the Word, getting back with God, I started to realize that God is a loving God, that he's not fearful. And going to church where, growing up, you couldn't even sneeze in church, or you'd be sent to the children crying room. And it was just a different experience, and I loved how they broke it down for children, and children could go into different rooms and have it at their level. And so for me, it was so liberating that God is love, and that, you know, God doesn't always make bad things happen or do bad things, but he will use those trials and tribulations and those seasons to bring you closer to him. And hopefully you're looking for him to find him, but often we are so caught up in our trials and tribulations that we don't tend to see him, or we want him to come in a certain way. So I'm just saying hello to a bunch of people. Hello on Facebook. So today, kind of what the theme that we're talking about with Flip It is, like I said, you know, I had my first view on God was a fearful God. You better do the right thing. If you don't do the right thing, bad things are going to happen to you. And now it's the complete opposite, that, you know, God is love and God is always with me. And the times that, you know, I didn't feel he was with me, he's not the one that moved, you know. I was the one that moved. I was the one that went further and further away from him. And I remember my old therapist saying to me, Lisa, she said, you know, there's nowhere you can go on these on earth that you're not reachable for God. You know, you can always turn, but you have to turn back around. So speaking with all this, probably the past year or two, I've been trying to find someone that would sit down and read the Bible with me, because it can be very intimidating. Just reading it on your own, and half the time I've tried reading it and I don't understand most of it that's going on. And so I was praying and thinking, and I was just saying to God, like, please put someone in my life that will have that. And lo and behold, he walks into my classroom, Pastor Rev McDuffie. So I call him Rev. And as I was thinking about one day, I just came to him and I was like, listen, would you mind on my lunch if working with me? And he was like, absolutely not. And so it's pretty amazing, because, you know, I used to hear people in the past being like, you know, the Bible has all your answers for everything you need and everything for life. And I was like, yeah, I don't see, you know, where that is all completely. And so Rev said to me, let's start with Mark. And so we started with Mark. If you want to go to Mark 11, we started Mark 11, 12. And one of the things that Rev taught me that's so important is when you're reading the Bible, there's many things that you need to, hello everyone, you need to keep in mind. One is, who's he talking to? You know, what time are we looking at? Who's talking? And what's the significance? So if I read this on my own, I probably would just read it and think probably nothing much of it. So I'm just going to read a little passage, and then I'm going to discuss a little bit about why it got important to me. Hi, Teen. Why it became important to me. So it says, for chapter 11 of Mark, and we're on verse 12. It says, now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something to eat on it. When he came to it, he found there was nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. So I know nothing about fig trees, but apparently, you know, we're in Jerusalem here, or I guess we're dealing with, maybe we're not, yes. And so fig trees are life for them. And so whenever fig trees have leaves, they have fruit. So for a fig tree not to have fruit on it with leaves is like unheard of. So Jesus is coming by and sees this big, huge fig tree from afar with all these leaves on it, and they're on their journey and they just want to go and eat. And he comes up to the tree and realizes there's no figs on it. And so he says in response, Jesus says, let no one eat fruit from it ever again. And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables, money changers, and the seats of those who sold doves. So basically, Jesus coming into Jerusalem, he's going into the temple where, if you,
I guess I'm going to try to use some analogies here, but, you know, the temple is basically doing all these sacrifices. And if, you know, if you buy, you know, this sheep, you buy that, and we sacrifice it, and you have to pay, obviously, money to the temple, now you're going to be saved. But you're only going to be saved for a little bit until you have to sacrifice again. So Jesus is coming in there and seeing that this is all corrupt. The whole temple is corrupt, just like the fig tree is a foreshadowing of this looks beautiful, but there's no fruit on it. There's no prosperity on it. There's nothing that you can prosper with. And so he goes in and to the temple, and he starts flipping over all the tables of all the people that are saying that they're holy, are saying, you know, telling people you're going to be saved if you do this, but it's really it's the hypocrisy of what God is. And so it says Mark 11, verse 16, and he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And then he taught, saying to them, it is not written, my house shall not be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. And then scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went into the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So if you think about this, this is a huge fig tree that is dried up by the roots. It's obviously toppled over. It's dead within 24 hours, not even. And so for me, when I was talking with Rev about this, I kept saying, I'm like, everything's being flipped over. You know, the tree, the thieves, like Jesus is coming in, and to some people it looks like he's causing havoc. But really what he's doing is, and some people might be like, oh my goodness, you know, everything's being flipped over, everything's being turned upside down. And what Jesus is really doing is he's coming in and saying, I'm making this right side up. And it just brought me back to something that happened in my own personal life, that when I was going through trials and tribulations, and it might just, you know, one was my divorce, it could be breakups, but one of the things that I remember my ex-husband actually saying to me, I said, I feel like my world's falling apart right now, and he was like, well, instead of looking at it as falling apart, maybe it's falling into place. And so when I was reading Mark, I really looked at the fig tree as very iconic. Like, we as people, we always look at things, or we hold things value that are truly not valuable, but they take us off our path. So maybe money is your God, and, you know, it looks great, and it can buy you lots of nice things like this fig tree, but at the end of the day, can you really prosper from it? Like, is it really going to get you into heaven? You can't buy your ticket into heaven. There's only one way through, and that's through Jesus. And so as I was talking about this with Rev, I just realized, like, you know, so many of us idolize something that is that fruitless fig tree, and we waste our time on it, and we put energy in it, and if we were actually putting it into something that would prosper us, that would do well, imagine what we could do. So when we were doing the flip it, I was just thinking about how many times in my life where I could look at something negative, and, you know, if I keep looking at the door that closed behind me, I'm not going to see all the doors ahead of me. And so I just find that for me, when I started reading the Bible with Rev and how he was actually explaining it to me, because at first I had a hard time believing, like, Jesus would curse a tree? Like, that's a living thing. You know, like, why would Jesus come in and curse a tree? And then I thought about it. I'm like, no, he's cursing the corruptness. He's setting it right, because, you know, the Pharisees, who thought they knew it all, they were waiting for Jesus to come. They knew everything. You know, here's Jesus in front of them, and and they're trying to, if you hear it, they're trying to figure out a way to destroy him. So he's coming into the temple, he's calling them all thieves, he's saying that this is all corrupt, and which, if you think about it, like, Jesus is causing havoc. He's not going in peacefully. He's going in, he's saying, oh no, this is not what my father intended. This is not going to be my temple. And I'm going to turn everything upside down, because what you're doing is you're robbing these people. And what's worse is you're making them believe that they're saved and they're not saved. And the only thing that's happening is you're making more and more money. Hello. This really stood out for me. And I started thinking about things in my life you know, how many times something might look good or might feel good or you might think is the best thing for you, but in the grand scheme of things, I don't know how this turned around. Sorry, guys. There we go. You might think that something is the best thing for you, and obviously your best thinking got you where you are. So I've learned from my experience that sometimes my best thinking is not what's best for me. You can be drawn in by that fig tree, and you can think that there's going to be all these promises and whatnot, and you can lie to yourself about it, be like, okay, I know there's not figs on here right now, but they're coming. They might be coming. And that's why Jesus cursed that fig tree, because he did not want someone else to be fooled by it. And I also think it's, in a sense, a foreshadowing of his crucifixion. So, when Jesus later on is starting to do all these healings, and, you know, to the Pharisees, they're looking at him like, you know, he's causing havoc here. And if all these people start following him, you know, we're not going to get money in our temple. Like, and we're going to lose things. So we need to destroy Jesus. Jesus cannot be going around causing crowds, causing people to follow him. Thank you. I did turn back the camera. One of the things that came through when we were studying Mark is going through the healings. That sometimes, you know, we want things in our life to change, but we have to be a part of that change. You know, we can't just expect that God's going to come and just change everything for us because he loves us. I mean, he does love us, but he also gives us free will. So if our free will is not to follow his lead, then God's not going to intervene. we have to give that. And I remember a friend of mine once told me, you know, life is like a puzzle. And let's say it's 500 pieces, that puzzle. You know, if we're going to hold on to 30 of those pieces and we want God to change the puzzle, he's not going to change it. You have to give all 30 of those pieces to, you know, the 500 pieces to God to change that scene. And oftentimes we want to keep a couple pieces and be like, oh no, just change everything else, but I want to put this one piece back in. I want to keep this piece, and it's just not going to fit into the puzzle. So what I'm finding for me is that when I often give it to God and realize the battle is with him, it's not for me to fight. I'm just feeling at peace. There's not negative self-talk in my head. There's not doubt. There's not shame. There's not all these negative things that normally paralyze me and keep me in the same cycle that I've always been in. But I realize that if I'm focusing on fruitless fig trees and not really focusing on Jesus and God, then I am going to end up, you know, in a den of thieves. I am going to be fooled. I am going to be hurt. I am going to be taken back. So for me, trying to prune the fruitless fig trees, trying to take out the things that are not prospering me, they might waste time and they might give me some joy in the moment or, you know, pleasure in the moment, but over long period of time is not giving me the fruit that I need to continue. And I remember I'm into analogies. So I remember this summer a pastor at Camp of the Woods said to me, said he was preaching, and he said, you know, think of it this way. Think of it like two dogs. You can have a dog that is negative, or if you want to say evil, and then you have a dog that is positive, and it could be Jesus. You know, if you're going to feed those dogs, which dog is, you know, if you're going to feed the negative dog, which one's going to get bigger? The negative one. So the more that we think negative, the more that we doubt ourselves, the stronger that gets. And the more that we think positive, the more that we believe in ourselves, the more that we do good for us, the stronger that gets. And it just made me think with my life, you know, I remember being in Al-Anon, people going like, I feel like there's two trains going on in my head. Like, one's telling me the right thing to do, one's not. And it's just like Genesis. In Genesis, when Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden, you know, they're told they can eat anything they want except from the tree of good and evil, of knowledge, I believe. And so Adam doesn't, and then Eve gets tricked by the serpent that to eat it. And so she then all of a sudden then has Adam eat it, and they get kicked out of the Garden of Eden because they disobeyed God. But it just is a reminder that the devil is always lurking. Evil is always lurking. It says in the Bible that the devil will prey on you like a lion. And for me, I just realized in the times where I've been lowest in my moments of my life, you know, where self-doubt hits the most, negativity hits the most, and it really has taken me away from God. And in order for me to shift my thinking, I really need to look at what's really going on there. And when I start to think that I'm all alone, that I'm different, that I'm not, I'm unique, that I'm by myself, I'm separating myself more and more from God, because God wants us to have relationships with other people. God never intended for us to be by ourselves. He wants us loving one another. He wants us taking care of one another. He wants us having the most thorough, best relationships that we can have. And if we're not doing that, we're isolating. That's what the devil wants, because when we isolate and we think that we're no good, or we think that we are unique in the sense that no one else can understand us, no one else, we are closing ourselves off from everything that could possibly love us and help us. So that, to me, the whole flippant mentality is, you know, trying to take those negative things and put it into positive, and taking things that really shape you and define, I shouldn't say define you, but make you who you are. And you can make it define you in a negative way, or you can persevere through it and use that momentum to to really go to your calling. So if I told you about my childhood, I did not have the best childhood. I didn't have the best relationship with my mother. And there was a time in my life when I was doing Cornerstone, and I had to do a speech on discipleship. And I remember I didn't want to give my mom any credit. I didn't want to give her any credit for anything, because she was just so negative, and she was she really gave me a run for my own money. She was very abusive, and was not really there the way a mother should be for a child. But I remember, you know, thinking about it, and as much as I didn't want to give her credit, I had to say, you know, my mom actually helped make me be the best mom that I am, because I just did everything the opposite that she did. So sometimes our hardest things that happen to us can actually be some of the best things that happen to us, because it allows us to grow and be the best that we can be. And, you know, and it also took me time to realize that, you know, my mom did the best she could with what she had. And I wonder, you know, how much my life would be different if we did go to church every Sunday growing up. You know, if we did go to a Bible-based church versus when we were going to Catholic, you know, I think of these things because I know as a kid I always longed for it. I always wanted, and I remember when I was like, when I have kids, I'm going to make sure that they go to church every Sunday. I'm going to make sure that they have this family base. I'm going to make sure that God is present. Hi, Aaron. For me, taking all my life moments, and as much as we want to change some things, I don't know if you guys ever seen the movie The Butterfly Effect, but it was a great movie with Ashton Kutcher, and he would write things down, and then it would change things. So if he, whatever the day he had, if he didn't like something, he would write in this book, and then he'd have the day again, it would change it. And what was great about the movie is that when you change one thing, it changed everything. Hi, Rev. So what I loved about the movie was, if you change one thing, it's like this, what's the word I'm looking for? Domino effect of changing things. It wouldn't just be that day that's changing. It wouldn't just be that moment that's changing. It would be a whole series of things. And I'm probably dating myself here, but those of you that watched Felicity back in the day, their last season, they did the same kind of concept, which was they had two different endings. You know, she dated one guy, she dated the other guy, and then when she got her heart broken with the one guy, she said, you know what, I wish I went back and I picked this guy. And they did two different versions of it, and they showed the same thing, that when she changed the guy, it wasn't that everything else that she had in her life was the same. No, everything changed, and drastically changed. So I just think that sometimes we have to think about really doing the best we can and not living in regret, and realizing that there are going to be times that things are going to shift for us. But overall, if we're in an agreement and alignment with God, that and doing the best we can with what we have, and further seeking and further trying to learn our path. And by doing that, by talking to people that are older, people that have the wisdom. Like I said, you know, when I was looking for someone that knew the Bible, I'm like, okay, I want someone that knows the Bible. Rev, who's been ministering for over 40 years, walks into my classroom. I'm like, I want that one. That's the one I want. And, you know, finding someone that you can ask questions. I ask Rev all the time. I'm like, wait a second, why does it say woman here and now she has a name? You know, or why is, and it's funny, I noticed like in the Bible, like once the purpose has happened, like maybe then the person has a name or they're referred to as something different. And just like we talk about, you know, once we accept Christ or Jesus as our Savior, there's a transformation going on. And so I just find it very relieving. Thank you. That for me, like I never doubted that Jesus was the Son of God. But for me, like I said, I turned away from God because I used to think that God was all punishing. So when something bad happened or someone lost their, let's say their child, I would sit there and go, oh my God, like how could you take an innocent little baby? But at the same token, I remember hearing at one point, you know, I don't know the answer right now, but God has a bigger plan, you know? And I'm like, okay, it's a little bit, but I think if that was my baby, I don't know if that would be enough for me. And like I said, you know, God will take these dark, troubled times of your life. He doesn't cause them, but he will take those opportunities to bring you closer to him. And if you've ever heard the Casting Crown song, Just Be Held, he will say, you know, you'll find me in the midst of the storm. Like, that's where you are going to find God. Or if you used to read Footprints, you know, say, in the tough times, God, why did you leave me? I didn't leave you. That's when I was carrying you. So we are going to take a commercial break now, and we'll be back after these messages. Thanks for listening.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for Everyday Heroes from Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershot can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershot today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night? Feeling sluggish during the day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. If chronic pain is preventing you from leading a full and active lifestyle, then it's time to visit Oasis Spine and Orthopedic Specialists. As a Blue-friendly service provider, Oasis understands that each person's situation is unique and that each person's healing plan needs to be customized for individual injuries and conditions. Featuring board-certified and fellowship-trained physicians, Oasis Spine and Orthopedic Specialists will have you back on your feet and back in the game. Schedule your appointment today by visiting www.blueorthopedic.com. Moment of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement, military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals for the men and women of law enforcement. The unfiltered voice of law enforcement. TheBlueMagazine.com. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are Blue-friendly, it's time to visit VisitBlue.com. VisitBlue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you are looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you found it. DDVRadio.com offers programs such as Between Two Blue Balls, Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guy Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com. And now back to the program. DDVRadio.com. Radio.com.
Rev, you're here. Welcome back. Rev, are you calling in? I didn't know if you were calling in. You're messaging me. You're on here. You're everywhere. I'm keeping track. Yeah, of course I want you to call in. Come on. You're so funny. So as we were just, we were talking about before, we were in Mark, chapter 11, And we were talking about how Jesus was coming in and turning things upside down and really just making right of what's going on. And because back in the day, you know, when we're talking Old Testament, back then we had to have sacrifices. There had to be shed of blood for forgiveness. And so when Jesus comes to earth, and like I said, the fig tree in my mind was very powerful for me. Like, to me, that really stood out. And as I was going around, you know, and just looking at my students and looking at different people and even myself and my children, I would be sitting there going like, okay, that's the figless fruit tree. That's something that they're idolizing right now that they think is so important. And, you know, when we're not emotionally attached to it, it doesn't seem like a big deal. But when we are emotionally, hi Sarah, hi Alexandra, when we're attached to something so emotional, we're not necessarily logical. And so one of the things that I always say to my children and to myself is, feelings aren't facts, but they're true to you. So, you know, and one example could be, you know, when you're alone at night and you hear, and it's dark and you hear a noise, you can get so scared and fearful, and you think all these things are going to maybe happen, and maybe Freddy and Jason and hi Lauren, and all these things are going to come and attack you and get you. And but if it was during the day, or if people were around you, you wouldn't think twice about it. So sometimes our feelings take us places and take us to situations that aren't actually factual, but they are true to us. And we have to look at that. And oh, are we getting a phone call? Is that what I'm hearing? Okay.
And we have to look at that.
Who's this? Oh, there's a little delay.
Phone call? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, you are.
Hello.
This is Mr. McDuffie.
Hi, Mr. McDuffie. How are you, Rev?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing good. Are you swinging by? I have some tea. I have some tea here. How are you doing?
I am just calling in just to congratulate you on your presentation.
You're too kind.
And yes. And how well you're doing.
Well, you're challenging me, so I'm accepting the challenge.
God.
Okay, God,
yes.
God is with me. I know that, but I know you're challenging me. Don't think I don't realize that.
You haven't said no to me yet,
so I can't say no to you. You know. So I will share this. So for people that don't know me, this is not me. I would never, first off, when you first said, could you go on my radio show? I was like, sure. You know, first I was like, oh, I don't know, but okay. Me and Rev sit and talk every day almost. So just be like the two of us talking. It's not a big deal. And I think we hear what we want to hear. So I heard that I was a guest on the show.
I got you.
I didn't hear that I'm a guest host, as in I'm doing it myself. So last night I texted Rev saying, hey Rev, do you still need me for Saturday? And then Rev told me that he would not be available. And that of course he still needs me. And that his buddy would be here and that he could help me out. So I'm like, okay, well, what's the topic? What are the questions that are going to be asked? And Rev writes back to me, there are no questions. There are no topics. It's you talking for an hour. And I'm like, on what? So you're lucky I love you, here, because that 6 months ago I think I would have run for the hills and told you I was I thought about this. This is, you're gonna laugh about this. So this is what I was thinking about today. I'm like, if I see, okay, so my pastor was talking about on Sunday how he had a fear of talking in public, You know, here he is. He's a pastor in front of the church. And he's like, you know, and God would give me all these opportunities to talk in front of other people. And he would make up stuff and avoid it and, you know, whatever. And so he's like, but here, this was my calling and I'm avoiding it. And so today I was thinking to myself, because, you know, you and Crystal are really smart. Because this was like an onion, you know? You just like showed me like a little bit the outside, and then as I already committed, it just got bigger and bigger. It just got deeper and deeper in the onion. So so I get, so then Rev's like, oh yeah, we record this, and I'm like, oh, I don't like my voice recorded, so this is gonna be awful. And then I was like sitting there, and then Crystal starts Facebook messaging me, and she's like, you're going to do Facebook Live, right? You're going to do Facebook. And I'm like, I've never done Facebook Live in my life, and I'm not getting my highlights until March 9th. This is not going to be good. But my whole purpose was, when I was driving over here, the lesson was, if I made this all about me, I would have bailed. And I would have never done this. And, you know, I tell my kids all the time that they need to persevere. They need to try new things. They need to do stuff outside their comfort zone. And so this is definitely something outside my comfort zone, especially since I'm used to talking to you when we're talking about the Bible. And by the way, I take notes the whole time. So Rev laughs at me all the time. But, like, I literally write and take notes the entire time. So if you are someone that... if you're someone that journals, I suggest you journal, because I've read some of my journals when I was 18. I clearly was smarter than I was at 25. I should have kept reading those journals for the lessons that I learned. Totally. But I thought about you today because when you were talking about disbelief and belief. So talk to me about belief and disbelief, because I love that definition.
Well, I'll say this. Unbelief is a choice to not to believe, even though you know it's the truth. It's a choice not to believe. You choose not to believe. You have all the facts. You know this is the real deal, but you choose not to believe. That's called unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
When you deal with belief, that means when you see the truth, you embrace it, you say, that's right, and I come into agreement with it. That's belief. So you got unbelief, and you have belief. So when Jesus says something, you say, I believe what Jesus says. That's good. God is pleased with that. But to hear Jesus say something and teach us, and we look at it and say, that's not the truth. It's like I told my wife the other day, I said, I think Matsu is one of the best teachers. I got this category called the best type of teachers. If you can come in your classroom and you can impact student lives, and they listen to you, they may fight it, but they'll finally come back and know what Mr. Yu was right. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you just continue to persevere and believe that something you're saying is penetrating their heart. You remind me of Mr. Dapson and Miss Brown in our group. Dapson is like you, which we don't take opposition well. I mean, if you say us to no, it don't make us back down. It don't make us swallow our words because you're mad today or got bad attitude. You just say, okay, well, had a bad day today. I see tomorrow. You're right back on your same grind. That type of belief is what we need to change the world. And so I'm honoring you today.
You are sweet. Thank you.
I left, and I just popped in. I said, and you popped on my machine, Brother Robbie, hit with the Facebook Live, and I know everybody on my page is seeing you. And what you're doing, you're encouraging people to come out the shell, come out the hole. There's many things God want to use people to do. And I think sometimes, like you said, if people keep depending on the physical Jesus on the earth, then we keep depending on him to do something. But when he goes back to heaven and pours himself out through the Holy Spirit, it allows the world to see God not only when you use Pastor Mike or Sue. He wants to use every student in high school. He wants to use your friends. Mm-hmm. He wants to use your kids. And so to me, I'm looking at this as a multiplicity of ministry. It's time to raise up people to touch the world. And you're an example of someone that's just getting started. Before I say the information of wisdom that's inside of you, it is so powerful and profound.
You are so sweet, Rev. Thank you. That's all God, though. That's nothing. But I am just getting started. Yeah. This is my first time. But I will say two things. You touched upon two things, because to me, when I was driving over here, I was thinking about the unbelief and disbelief, and I was thinking to myself, you know, there are so many ways I could have talked myself out of this. And had the negative, and I did not have that, you know, since what I said to you about that transformation. Like, there's no more war going on in my head of like the positive and negative. It is, God is there. God is with me. God will see me through it. And even if, you know, like when I was praying on the way over here today, I'm like, all right, God, I want to be in agreement with you. Please make it your will, yeah. your way, and your time. And yeah. and what you were saying, like, I love how you say, like, Jesus is a chess player. Like, he's strategic. Yes. He is not going to show everything he's doing. And it's about timing, and it's about placement. And, you know, for someone like me that's very impatient, that can be yeah. a negative thing. It can be a challenging yeah. thing, I should say. But yeah, no, you're... I am just so grateful that God put you literally in my classroom, walking in and coming yeah. in. And, you know, I just love working with you every day and trying to put the pieces together for our students. Because to me, knowledge is power. And if you, like what you said before, you know, if you don't know something, that's one thing. But to believe something and then unbelieve it and then lie to yourself about it. And then be mad at people for you trying to deceive yourself, like we were just saying, the fruitless fig tree. Look at how much energy that we are wasting. And then, you know, you did that great example, and I guess I can use this pencil as an example, but you were holding a towel like this, and you're basically saying, like, our direct path is like this, you know, but we as humans, we like to complicate everything, and we can't have something so yeah. simplified, so then we need to jump off, and we need to, you know, yeah. do all these other things that we think are, you know, is best for us, and really we're just making things more and more complicated for ourselves, and we just keep distracting ourselves more and more. And taking ourselves off our own path. So I love that whole free will, and God's not going to. What's that? You know that analogy where that guy's like saying, like, the guy's sitting on the roof of his house and he's flooded all around him,
yeah.
and he's praying to God to come save him. You know, and like first comes like I don't know a guy in a boat, and he doesn't get in the boat.
Yeah.
Then comes a guy jet ski, whatever, the Coast Guard, a helicopter, yeah. and then the guy ends up dying, mm-hmm. going to God and going, "Why didn't you save me?" And he's like, "I sent guy in a boat, sent a guy. Yeah, I did all these things, but we want it our way in our time, and therefore we miss God's calling." So that's what I was thinking about today. When you asked me to do this, I'm going. All right, I'm going to say yes because you've never said no to me. But I'm just going to have to accept, I'm going to have to embrace the journey and accept it and see where it takes me. So,
think about this, Miss Sue. One Saturday, we're going to bring some students from our class and sit around that table and talk about stuff. People like, you know, like,
I'd love
Prada and these people and do like a talk show around the table.
How about Robert? How about Robert?
Bring them in. They would love this. You know, let's work on that. Let's do one in the month of March. Maybe let's reach for the last Saturday in March.
Ooh, I love that.
See, we can put something together like that.
Look at you roping me in.
I told you this, and I got to go. I told you this. It's our job to raise up leaders. We keep doing everything
100%.
Ourselves, and the generation is not going to have. We got to get our kids involved, our students, and let them feel a part of being able to change the world. That includes from teenagers to eighth graders. The sooner we get them started, the better. And so let's get this thing moving. I got to go.
All right, baby.
Thank you so much for this teaching. You got the 255. Love you.
All right,
church
love you.
Tomorrow, everybody, 747.
747.
77
Park Ave, right? 77 Park
yes.
Ave? Okay.
77 Park Ave, 747 at the top. All right.
747 a.m., not p.m.
That's right. A.m.
All right, Rev. I love you. Have a blessed day.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye, sweetie. He does make it hard to say no, right? Crystal, you're so right. When he was asking, when he asked me, I'm like, I can't say no because, well, first off, I thought it was me and him hanging out together. So that was an automatic yes. But then when it became me alone, it was a little different. I still kept my promise, but yeah. But like what Rive was just saying, you know, we're not meant to do this on our own. And I know something, even though this is not Bible, a religious show or Bibleist show. I don't know if any of you watched The Walking Dead, but I used to love The Walking Dead, probably until like season 7, I think, or 8. It was too many seasons for me. But the whole premise was, when I was a kid, I used to... Robert, you watched it. Okay, good. So when I was a kid, I used to be fearful of death. and I used to actually be scared of dying and losing my parents early, or really I should say my dad, but and I would just, I'd be carrying this around. And so there were thoughts, not that I did it, but I'm like, oh my God, if I ever, you know, when I get my own house, I want to make like a little shelter and have food and all this, you know, stuff. And watching The Walking Dead has changed my perspective on things, because we think that we want to live forever and that if something catastrophic happens, like, life would still be the same way. And but what you learn with The Walking Dead is no one can live on their own. No one can be by themselves. They have to be a part of a community. Like, we do need each other to help with farming, with food, childcare, just growing up. So, to me, I was so fearful of death, and I think now having children, it has shifted in the sense that I'm not fearful of death, but I am fearful of leaving my children before they're okay enough to be on their own and make sure that I have people in their life that will continue their path and walking with Christ. So that's what I was getting today with driving here, and just thinking about, you know, with flipping it, you know, what are we doing today that is preventing us from being closer with God? David Bailey is a really good Christian singer. He's actually passed now, but he was diagnosed with brain cancer and was given like 6 months to live. So he decided to go on tour and, you know, do what he loves. And he actually lived for many more years than 6 months. But he has some really good album called Silent Conversations and different songs. But one of the things he says, if God seems far away, guess who moved? You know, it's not God that moved, it's you. And so, you know, in the Bible, Jesus, there's a woman that's constantly bleeding, and she has like a clotting disorder with her blood, and she literally crawls and gets to Jesus through a crowd of thousands of people, and she touches him. And when a woman's back then was, you know, has her period, she cannot be touching others. She'll make them impure. And instantly when she touches Jesus, she's healed. And he feels the healing leave him. And he confronts it. And she's automatically healed. And in the sense, the reason why she's healed is because she aligned herself with God. She believed in Jesus and she didn't doubt. And she did this whole journey to try to be healed. And so for me, if you want God in your life, if you want to be healed, you have to make that commitment. You have to align yourself with God so that that can happen. And another analogy with that is, I remember a priest once saying to me, you can pray all you want on the way home today, but if you don't, that, you know, that you're not going to crash, but if you don't take the steering wheel, you're going to crash. So I just challenge you to take the steering wheel and start driving in your direct path with not God as your co-pilot, but that you're God's co-pilot in the sense that he's in charge. And I just pray that that people become in agreement and they allow it to be his way, his will, and in his time. Because sometimes it is our will, it just might not be the time. And so I just pray that if anyone's hurting right now, that they find some kind of source to sit with them. And if you want, you guys know me on Facebook, and you guys also, most of you have my phone number, that you can call me, because I just feel like there are passages that, and Psalms 91 is one of them. It says that you will find refuge in his feather of wings. Like, God is so powerful that his wings will protect you, which to me is astonishing and very powerful. And to me, that brings me comfort, that God can just protect me with his wings, and that nothing can penetrate that. But I will say that the more negative talk that you give, the more you feed the evil, the more you believe it. And so it's important for you to flip that, the negative experiences, and make it be something that, how can you actually thrive and prosper and magnify the good in your life. How much are we doing? The 55? Okay. So I just want to respond to a couple of people here. I see Crystal is writing. Pastor. Yes. Yeah, so yes. So Pastor Michael McDuffie does his morning services at 7:47 a.m. It's like a flight. So at 7:47 a.m. on 77 Park Ave in Patterson. It's literally a block from Eastside, and it's a block from Great Falls High School. And it's a brand new building. It's beautiful space. So please, if you are up tomorrow at 7:47, we'd love to see you. And 1 minute. Okay. And let me say, give Pastor McDuffie ministry, go to, okay. So to donate to Pastor McDuffie's ministry, you can go to the Cash App code $PastorMichael7 or via PayPal using his supermite777@gmail.com. Well, thank you guys for tuning in, and I hope you all have a blessed day.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for Everyday Heroes from Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershot can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershot today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night? Feeling sluggish during your day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. If chronic pain is preventing you from leading a full and active lifestyle, then it's time to visit Oasis Spine and Orthopedic Specialists. As a Blue-friendly service provider, Oasis understands that each person's situation is unique and that each person's healing plan needs to be customized for individual injuries and conditions. Featuring board-certified and fellowship-trained physicians, Oasis Spine and Orthopedic Specialists will have you back on your feet and back in the game. Schedule your appointment today by visiting www.blueorthopedic.com. Moment of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement, military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals for the men and women of law enforcement. The unfiltered voice of law enforcement. TheBlueMagazine.com. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are blue-friendly, it's time to visit VisitBlue.com. VisitBlue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers sectors, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you're looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you found it. DDVRadio.com offers programs such as Between Two Blue Balls, Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guy Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com.